What a barrier is? Something that blocks, you know, like when the pipes are clogged and you go to turn the water on and it doesn't come on, or it doesn't drain because it's blocked. Well, we have to remove the barrier. And we don't want to just remove the barrier, we want to break it. Amen? And, you know, God wants His will done on earth as in where? If we're going to do God's will on earth like it is in heaven, we're going to have to have access to all of heaven's resources. And God has made a way for us to have access. I looked up that word, and just some words that mean the same is a right of entry. You have a right of entry to heaven, its goods, its resources, its equipment, its knowledge, its expertise. You have admission. You don't need to buy a ticket. Ticket's already been bought for you. You have a right to use. You have a right as a child of God to use all that heaven has to offer. Okay? I'm going somewhere with this tonight. There is an entrance. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to get to the Father, you got to go where? Through me. Why? Because He's the door. He's the entrance. Let me just give you a picture. I want you to picture this pulpit as an ATM machine. All right? And this is an ATM machine, and you have been given an account number in heaven. Okay? How would you access what's inside this machine? Come on, talk to me. With your card, okay? Would you throw it in there? You know? Man, if you're a good shot, you'd get right in there. Okay? So you'd have to use a card. What would you have to do with that card? Have to swipe it, and you'd have to put in a passcode, right? Well, what's our passcode for heaven? Jesus, right? Ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. That gives us access, an entrance, the right to use. And you would pick an amount of how much you wanted, right? See, now, the only difference between this ATM machine and the ATM machines that you might use here is they have a limit, this one doesn't. But because you know Jesus, every one of you have been given access to what's available to you. So I call this breaking the barriers of receiving, accessing the blessing through an open heaven. Go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. And let's look at this here. Let's look at verse 13. Then come Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, The heavens were opened. Do you see that? The heavens were opened to who? Unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." From that moment on, Jesus walked under an open heaven. From that moment on, God opened heaven to him, and he walked in it. So every time he needed something, he could gain access. When Jesus ministered to people, how did he do it? I do what I what? See my Father do. He had a clear picture of God. He could see into the heavens. Okay? And then God spoke from the heavens. Now, in order to break barriers in our lives, we need an open heaven. We need to be able to access God's power. We need to be able to. Now, he sent his Holy Spirit to the earth. Where did he come from? Came from heaven. Because Jesus said, "I need to go so the other comforter could what?" They just traded places. See, but this time, when the Holy Spirit came, this time, he was poured out on all flesh. Okay? So to have an open heaven, you need these things. And we're going to talk about these a little bit. And it's right here in these verses. First of all, in verse 15, Jesus said, "It becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, if you want an open heaven in your life, you've got to do what's right. To fulfill righteousness simply means to do what's right. Okay? Go with me to Psalm 40, and we're going to come back to Matthew 3. Go to Psalm 40, and look at verse 8. See, to have an open heaven means you have direct access to God, and anything you need, he'll supply it. He's got a network called the Holy Spirit Network. And there's never a drop call. There's never a miscommunication between, on God's part. Sometimes we miss the communication, but never on God's part. And Psalm 40, verse 8, he says, "I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." Do you delight to do God's will? Did Jesus delight to do God's will? He said, "I've come to do the work of him who sent me." He was only concerned about pleasing the Father. That's why he walked under an open heaven all the time. We have to delight to do God's will. Go with me to Luke chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We could use an open heaven in this church, amen? Where we all have access to come boldly before God's throne to get what? Grace and mercy. To obtain grace and find mercy when you need it. Or to obtain mercy and find grace when you need it. When we have an open heaven in this place, and God, he inhabits the praises of his people. And when you're praising God, God's presence just manifests. It just shows up. He comes on you. I want some open heavens. I don't want to just do church like we think we ought to be done. I want to do God's agenda. I delight to do his will. Luke 1, verse 6. Now notice this. talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth, I want you to notice this. They were both what? Before who? How do you become righteous? You accept Jesus Christ, you have faith in God, that makes you righteous. Abraham was righteous by faith. It was credited to his account because he believed God, therefore he was righteous. Notice, Elizabeth and Zechariah were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. They were blameless. They were doing what they knew to do. They were walking in the light that they had. Amen? Okay? Verse 8. And it came, or verse 7, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now stricken in years. Would you say that that's a barrier? In that society, not to have a child was a barrier. How are you going to break that barrier? How are you going to make a child come to pass? Because they're walking righteous, they have access to heaven. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, and he burned the incense, verse 10, the whole multitude of people were praying without at that time of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of who? See, sometimes we don't know how God is going to access his goods. He may send an angel. Notice this. There appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." Where's their prayer heard? In heaven. Why? Because they had access to heaven. And your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Is there any doubt of the message? That angel came from heaven. And while Zacharias was doing his thing, he was just minding his own business. He was doing what he knew to do, walking in the light that he had. They were praying, him and Elizabeth. They must have prayed more than once because it said what? Your prayers. Right? Your prayer is heard. When does God hear your prayer? When you pray. That's why he says, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have. Mark 11. Okay? And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great. See, now he's giving description of what's about to take place, so that he can have a vision. Okay? And he'll go before him. And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am old man." Wrong answer. Can faith override your age? Absolutely. Okay? And the angel answering him and said, "I am Gabriel that stand where? In the presence of God." And we know the rest of the story, right? But I wanted you to see that they were righteous. They were knowing, they were doing what they knew to do, walking in the commandments of God, and therefore they had access to heaven. And God sent them a message from heaven via the angel phone, which was a picture phone. He had a live showing up from the presence of God. We have to do what pleases God. What if we don't do what pleases God? When we put in our card, it may not work. Amen? Because what does sin do? When we don't do what's right, it's sin. What does sin do? Sin separates us from who? Which means it separates us from His presence. But how can we get back to His presence if we're separated? Repentance. Amen. You guys are sharp. Okay? So, to have an open heaven, we have to walk in righteousness. We have to do what's right. We don't practice lawlessness anymore once we're saved. That doesn't mean we don't miss it or make a mistake. But I'm talking about a practice of a consistent, we don't consistently disobey God, right? When we're saved, we make attempts now to obey God, okay? Number two, what did Jesus see descending when He got baptized? The Holy Spirit. In order to have an open heaven, you need the Holy Spirit poured out on you. There are times, yes, He's living in us, okay? But there are times, you ever stand in a fountain? Or you ever get under a sprinkler? Okay, that water from within gets where? It shoots up and it gets on you, right? And you become wet. So, in order to have an open heaven, we need to do what's right. Secondly, we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need God's Spirit, His anointing, His power, His person to come on you. You know, when the Spirit of God comes on you, it makes you into a different person. It makes you forget about this natural thing, and it makes you act crazy. People do things that are naturally seem crazy when the Holy Spirit's on them. It was crazy for Jesus to talk to the storm. But see, He had the Spirit without measure. He walked under an open heaven. And He spoke to, it was crazy to say, Lazarus, come forth. The man had been dead for 4 days. But see, when you know that you have access to heaven, the situation that you face doesn't matter. Because the Holy Spirit comes on you and He gives you boldness. He makes you act like a wild man. You know, when the Spirit of God in the Old Testament came on Saul, when he got with the band of prophets, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came on him, he began to prophesy. He prophesied so much that people thought that Saul was a prophet. Because the Bible says He changed him into a different man. So when the anointing of God, He gets poured out on you, you know, it's like when the team wins the game and they take that cooler and they dump it on the coach, right? That coach is doused. And whatever substance was in that cooler gets all over him. And God wants the substance of the Holy Spirit to get all over you. We need to have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to have an open heaven to break the barrier of receiving. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, but what is it by? By the my Spirit, says the Lord. What was He talking about? Making mountains molehills. He was talking to Zerubbabel. He was talking to a mountain. There was a situation that Zerubbabel was faced. There are times when the Spirit of God needs to rest on you. Yeah, He's in you, but when He squirts out, think of it like this. You're a soda bottle or a pop bottle, whatever you want to call it. Soda, pop, Coke, it doesn't matter. Some carbonated beverage, all right? What's inside represents the anointing, and you take that beverage and you shake it up, right? And you take the lid off of it, what's going to happen? It's going to go, and it's going to get everywhere. And there are times when God wants the Spirit of God to come on you and just get every, just mess you up. Sometimes we need our natural selves messed up. Sometimes we need to let the bobby pins just fly out. I can remember the times in my life when the anointing of God would come on me, and there were times I shook for 45 minutes. There were times when I laughed hysterically. There were times when I wept. There were times when I ran. There were times when I was just still. But we need the Holy Ghost to come on us. We need some people, when the Holy Ghost gets on you, just to be radical. Just to be crazy in the natural. Like Jesus, when he went into the temple and he was flipping over the tables and cracking the whip and pushing things around. He was a crazy man because he had the zeal of the Lord upon him. And we need that in the body of Christ. We need the Holy Ghost to get on us sometimes. You got them bottled up so much, you need to let them loose every once in a while. Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that is on the inside of you, that came on you from the laying on of hands. God wants to make chocolate milk, and the chocolate is sitting in there. It just needs a little stirring to change the atmosphere. We need some atmosphere-changing people. We need some people to get radical in their worship. God doesn't want a church that's so stiff and staid. He wants you with the Spirit, not with starch. Too many Christians got too heavy starch. When you take them off the hanger, they hang up by themselves. Sometimes we're too stiff in the body of Christ. We need to loosen up a little bit. But we can't loosen by ourselves. We need the anointing. We need the outpouring. See, the Spirit needs to come on you to function in the gifts, in the operations, in the administrations. How did you know to do that? I don't know. Something just came on me, came over me. What do you think happened when Peter got up on the day of Pentecost? How come Peter didn't get up before that time like that? I mean, he did some crazy things, but he never preached to the crowds like he did. But something on that day, something was poured out on him, and Peter was a different person. He got up, and he preached to 3,000. He preached to the crowds, and he preached so hot and so fiery that people came up and said, "What must we do to be saved?" Because something was on him. And really, it's your choice. See, if you want the Holy Spirit to come on you, he comes by invitation. When you get so caught up in worship, everybody's sitting down and you're still worshiping, you can lose yourself. Sometimes we need to lose ourselves. Jesus, in John 1:32, let's go there for a minute. Praise God. My goodness, God is so good. Listen, if we want to shake up our town, we're going to have to be shook up. Don't expect to do anything radical if you haven't done anything radical. Radical breeds radical. You know what my friend used to do to me? The big hangout in LaSalle, Illinois was the McDonald's, or Peru, Illinois, actually. And you'd go there on a Friday night, there'd be 50, 60 kids from high school. And sometimes, you know, fights would break out. So my friend and I, we went there. He's 10 years older than me. And we got into the parking lot, and at the top of his voice, he said, "Hey, everybody, listen up." And everybody's looking at him. And then he points to me and says, "He's got something to tell you." You better let the Holy Ghost come on you then. Because there ain't nowhere, you're there and you can't go anywhere because he's already pointed to you and called you out. You know what I did? I just preached Jesus to him. See, you can do stuff like, see, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you can overcome the flesh. And when that Holy Spirit and that anointing gets on you, it'll override any fear or insecurity or lack of knowledge. It'll make you into a different person. Because God needs you to be a different person for that moment to function in what he wants you to function in. John 1:32. John bare record saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him." Other translations say it remained on him. Why? Because he made sure that he kept walking under that open heaven. He didn't do anything that didn't please God. He only did what he saw his Father do. He was in such union. He was in such sync and such agreement with his Father. He said, "My Father and I are one." But you know what? He prayed that you and I could be one with the Father like he was one with the Father. Why? We got the same Spirit. We got the same Spirit. Praise God. Lord, I thank you for your mighty hand. The third thing that occurred for the open heaven, the voice of heaven will speak to you to direct and guide you. My sheep know my voice. How do you get to know someone's voice? You spend time with them. And the more time you spend with them, the more familiar their voice becomes to you. And you could be in a crowded room. I could be in a crowded room and Fiona could speak and I'd be like, I may not see her, but I know that she's spoken. I've heard her voice. Why? Because I know her voice. I've spent time. I know her voice. I know when it's good and I know when it's not good. I know her voice. But see, we need to have the voice of God. We need to know his voice. If you don't know his voice, you'll miss the instruction. You've got to be able to hear his voice. Now, it may be audible, it may be a still small voice, but nonetheless, it's a voice. God's got a voice. Are you listening to what he's saying? If you don't listen to what he's saying, you're going to miss the open heaven. Go to John chapter 12. Praise God. I didn't think it would come out this way, but there's something brewing in here. There's an aroma that's filling this atmosphere here tonight. God has shown up in a special way. And those that are hungry are going to get filled. God's going to come on you. John 12, verse 28. "Father, glorify your name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." How is he going to glorify it again? Through you and I. Because Jesus said, "The works that I do, who's going to do? You will do also because I go to the Father. And greater works shall you do." Say, "I will do greater works." And I think that that's more collectively than it is individually. But God needs every individual in a body to be able to hear the voice of God. We need to be able to hear the voice of God when we come together. We need to be able to hear the voice of God when we're at home. We need to be able to hear the voice of God wherever we are. Because we don't know what's ahead. We don't know if the enemy has a trap planned there, but God does. And the way he communicates to you is he talks to you. Can you say amen? Our God speaks to us. He's not a rock that can't talk. He's not a dumb idol. He is a living God. He's a father. He's an expert communicator. He knows how to communicate to each one of us. He made us. He knows exactly how we learn. It's not a matter of if he's speaking. It's a matter of are we hearing. Verse 29. The people, therefore, that stood by heard it and said that it thundered. To others said, an angel spake to him. The unbelievers, to unbelievers, God's voice sounds like thunder. To the believer, it sounds like a voice. Remember when Moses went up to Mount Sinai? The people who were afraid to go up heard thunder, but Moses heard God talking. See, when you're a believer in Christ, you have the ability to discern whether or not it's his voice or not. You can pick up on his frequency. He's got a particular wavelength. It's called the holy way. Mm-mm-mm. So if we want an open heaven, number one, we got to do what's right. You've got to do what's right from your heart. You got to treat people right. You got to do what's right in God's sight. You got to walk in righteousness. Righteousness is not cheap. It costs Jesus his life. Then you got to have the Spirit of God poured on you, and you got to hear God's voice. What if Abraham couldn't hear God's voice when he took Isaac onto Moriah? He would have missed the instruction. He would have missed the voice saying, don't kill the boy, there's a ram caught in the thicket. See, just because God spoke to you yesterday doesn't mean you can't hear him today. You've got to be hearing him every day. As you go, you got to be listening. If you know the story of Balaam, the king of Moab wanted to curse Israel. And God initially told Balaam, don't go with him. And that was all he needed. But the next day, you know, the way the Bible writes it is, he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, okay. No, God kept his first word. See, but it was Balaam's desire. He was going to go irregardless of what God said. Because Balaam went to the highest bidder. And while he was going, see, he didn't listen to God's voice to begin with, and God had to use a donkey. God had to speak through the donkey to get Balaam's attention. Otherwise, the angel would have took his head off. He would have killed him. The angel of the Lord was there with a sword. And the donkey kept running into the wall. And Balaam was getting mad at the donkey. The donkey saved his life. I guess we know who the real donkey was. It wasn't the one with four legs. And then to have an open heaven, you got to please God. How do we please God? What does it take to please God? Faith. God's not pleased with your works unless your works are by faith. Unless you're doing it because God said it, and while you're doing it, you're trusting him. But if you're doing it to show off, God's not pleased. God's not pleased with sacrifice. He'd rather have obedience than sacrifice. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, to do thy will, O God. It pleases God when you do his will. When you're willing and obedient to do whatever God says. Everybody say whatever. Some people want to be selective doers. Oh, I'll do this, God, but I don't want to do that. And I guarantee you, the thing that you don't want to do, God will have you do. Oh, yeah. Moses said, I don't want to go deliver the people, but what happened? He ended up delivering the people. He was trying to find ways why he couldn't do what God said do. Do you realize this? That when God spoke to a man who had a withered hand, his hand was withered or marred or whatever. When God said, stretch forth your hand, that hand was withered. But because he said it, that means that man was able to do it. Do you see that? What God says to you, you are able to do, and you have no excuse not to do. And when you don't do what he says, you are removing yourself from that open heaven. And when you're not in the open heaven, you're in darkness. God is pleased. Without faith, it's impossible to please. It's impossible to please God without faith. God is not pleased when you choose the negative side in a discussion. And what I mean by negative side is negative words. I'm not telling you which side of the discussion to be on. I'm talking about the negativity, the corrupt communication. That doesn't please God. God is pleased with positive words. Words that edify, build up. God is not pleased with name-calling unless you're talking with the devil. And the Bible calls him all kinds of names. The accuser of the brethren. He's the father of lies. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the person who works in the children of disobedience. So, you know, you're going to have to please God, and he tests hearts. God tests hearts. So you can't fake please God. I've got my pleasing facade on. Can't you see I'm pleasing God? Yeah, it's called a Pharisee. Oh, yeah, they look good on the outside. They did the right things. But inside, something was wrong with their heart. See, to keep an open heaven, you got to keep a right heart. You got to do things from the heart with your whole heart. And then finally, the next step to have an open heaven, there has to be an action. And you have to have faith to do whatever God says to do, no matter how crazy it is. It was crazy for Jesus to tell Peter to come when he was walking on the water. But what happened? Peter got out of the boat and what? He walked on water. How many of you walked on water? We can't even walk in the bathtub. We sink. But let me ask you this question. If God spoke to you and you knew it was God and he said, I want you to go down to this body of water and walk on it, would you? You've got to have the faith to step out and do the most craziest thing. What did God tell Moses when he was in front of the Egyptian army and behind the Red Sea? Lift up a stick. Huh? You want me to lift up a stick? That's crazy. Whoa, look at that. He lifted up a stick, and what happened? God parted the Red Sea. It might have been a crazy action, but it brought results. You know, it was crazy for Elijah to run faster than chariots. It was crazy for David to dance before the Lord and spin about, jumping up and down wildly. But he did it, and God got honored. His wife got offended, and she became barren for the rest of her life. See, when you get offended at someone's expression, you're not God. He may have told them, they may have needed to act that way to break off whatever was holding them down. See, there are some times that God's going to ask you things that don't make sense because we're not supposed to be led by our brains. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. I could just see when Caleb is a doctor and he has his medical practice and someone comes to him with an eye injury and he spits in his eye. Yeah, you talk about a malpractice suit. But if the Spirit of the Lord told you to do it and you did it and he got healed, that's pretty good advice. You know, one time a lady came to Smith Wigglesworth and she had a cancer in her belly and she came up for prayer and he hauled off and punched her right in the gut. But when he did, that cancer fell off of her. Another guy, Smith Wigglesworth, said, now you're only going to come up once for the healing line. And this guy came up. Smith Wigglesworth laid hands on him, and then this guy came up again. And Smith Wigglesworth said, I told you only come up once, and he kicked him. But as he kicked him, the guy was healed. You better know God's voice, let me tell you. If you're going to, you don't just do things because they seem good. That you do it because you know God's voice. God spoke to me. It didn't make sense for Fiona and I to come and help her dad. But that's how God brought us to Pennsylvania. We felt like we needed to come, and he was at a church for 10 years with 15 people. For 10 years, he ministered faithfully, worked a full-time job, and he didn't get past 15 people. But it doesn't matter how God brought us to Pennsylvania. We're here. If we didn't listen then, I wouldn't be here tonight. But see, you've got to be ready to do the most craziest instruction that God says to you. One time, I was in the Czech Republic. And part of our trip, we had to travel by train to get to this little village. We were working with a humanitarian clinic. They had a medical clinic. They did services there, and it was a downtown. We were cleaning the clinic, and then we were doing some Bible studies. But we had to take these 3 days to go to this remote place. When we got off the train, there were seven of us. It was pouring down rain. It rained so hard that the map that they gave me was all, the ink was all running. The map got so soaking wet. I tried to keep it as dry as I could, but that was the only thing that I had to get to where we're going in a foreign country. But we made it to this place. Now, the leader of our team, it was him and his wife and their daughter, someone gave them a car. So they were going to drive up the next day, you know, and God sent us on that adventure. But you know what? We got there, we made it safe, and the only food that we had when we got to this place where we were going was noodles. Nothing else. No sauce, nothing. We had to eat plain noodles, not even any salt. Because by the time we got to where we were going, all the shops were closed. So the next day, I just felt, I had this impression that I needed to take a walk and pray. And to get to this little village, we had to take a dirt road off the main road, okay? So I'm walking down this dirt road, and I'm just praying, I'm praising God, and I get to the main road, and I'm just standing there for a minute, and as I'm standing there, my leader is driving down in the car. And he told me afterward, he said, if I hadn't been there at that time, he'd have missed that road. Now, I just felt led to pray and to walk. But God had other plans in mind. And sometimes you may just get this impression to do something, but you got to be willing to do it. Do you think it makes sense to march around walls and to shout for them to fall? Makes no sense whatsoever. But when God told Joshua to do it, he did it. The hard part was keeping the people quiet for the 6 days. You know, they had to walk around those walls not saying anything. You try to keep 600,000 people quiet. That was probably more of a miracle. They couldn't shout until it was time to shout. Why? Because the leader was following the instruction. He was walking under an open heaven. Remember Joshua? The angel appeared to him. And he said, who are you? He said, I'm the captain of the host of the army of God. Yeah, yeah. Joshua was connected to heaven. Just like you can be connected to heaven. Don't get unconnected. Don't let your flesh keep you from God's best. There's an open heaven right here tonight. Why do I believe that? Why would God have me preach this message if he wasn't going to do anything with it? Amen? God's not just a God of words. He's a God of action. He confirms his word with what? Signs following. Amen? I believe that there are some individuals here tonight that God is speaking to you to do something. Holy Ghost is here. You're walking in righteousness because you're here on a Wednesday. Amen? The Holy Ghost has been poured out. God's voice has been going forth because it's his word that's been going forth. He's speaking. You can please him. Now the last part to have that open heaven is that action. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you that you are giving us clear direction tonight. Father, the only agenda that we're following is your agenda in the name of Jesus. And there are some here tonight, Father, that I believe that you're speaking to. You're telling them to do something. It might be here. It might not be here. Maybe he's telling you to give up something. Maybe he's telling you to forgive someone. Maybe he's telling you to do something else. I'm not God. I'm not here to say what he's telling you. You got ears to hear. You listen to his voice. You just be willing to do whatever he says do, no matter how crazy it might seem to you. Some of you just might have to jump up and shout. I don't know what God's telling you. All I know is I believe he's speaking to you. Because there's an open heaven. He wants to break that barrier. There's been something that has been hindering you from receiving what you need. There's a barrier. There's something in the way. And God wants to break that barrier in pieces tonight so that he can open the floodgates. God wants to open the floodgates to you tonight of his anointing, his power, his restoration, his healing. Oh, hallelujah. He is here tonight. You chose the right night to come. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We give you thanks and praise and glory. Oh, we thank you, Father. you're a good God. You know, it might just be, God may just have you come up and say, I need prayer. You know, because when you, listen, obeying God can simply mean humbling yourself. Pride can be a barrier that keeps you away from God's best. And you overcome that by simply humbling yourself. Humble yourself under his mighty hand and what? He will exalt you. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for an open heaven, a fresh anointing, for the presence of Almighty God. Yes. God wants his glory to fall in this place. You can come in contact with the glory of God tonight in the name of Jesus.